body free. Oh, Lord, remember me.
Remember me.
Days get long, I call your name.
Second hour of the Ralph Winroad Show by Ralph Clement Winroad II, coming to you live out of Alaska. And let's see, what's it warmed up to here? Minus two. Wow, we're having a heat wave. Started off minus 17 when I went to breakfast this morning. I've had enough of this cold weather. Anyway, this is getting really interesting. Now, we put in a subpoena for this property gal because she lied. She advertised all right title and interest. Well, that's not what's for sale. And this attorney, he said, oh, no, it's an in personam. He's full of baloney. I don't know if he don't know or if he's a liar. And, of course, under the Title 18, I forget which one it is, but attorneys can lie with impunity. You just can't make this stuff up. Why would Congress get around and allow these people to lie in court? It's just, I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's just all this stuff. When you start putting it all together and get the overview of it, it is a scary proposition of how corrupt our system is beyond belief. And then, of course, we got another thing because the thing that's actually called, which is the federal income tax, is supposed to be about excise tax of 1909. And, of course, I've got it out of the legislative history that the federal income tax under the Public Salary Act had nothing to do with you or me. The Public Salary Act of 1939, they got around and said, oh, by the way, we'll allow you guys to collect state. State can do federal income tax, and the federal says, we'll allow you to do state income taxes by agreement. And what it's called, I found this case, it says a retrocession statute. A major importance was enacted by Congress in 1940, commonly known as the Buck Act, retroceded to the states and to their duly constituted taxing authorities jurisdiction to levy and collect sales, use, and income taxes within federal areas. So the states are collecting, they can act and get this federal income tax nonsense. You go to the states, they're using they're using all kinds. Technically, it's Internal Revenue Code. There is no Title 26 legally into positive law. They just said, oh, well, the courts say, well, you know, it mirrors it, so we'll just go wink, wink, blink, blink. But IRC, it's amazing. In merchants, you find a lot of, they just use IRC. They know the difference. Federal income tax. You see, there's a killer issue. A lot of killer issues. Definition of state. I just got a case in here from somebody out of Ohio. The definition of state does not include those people in D.C. They can't even sue the citizens of the several states in a federal court. This stuff is all there. And you see, in the District of Columbia, they use the same 1040s, same 1099s, same W-2s, same W-4s, everything. Well, if they use the same thing there, and I'm have to use the same form, we obviously, of course, we know where the definition of individual is. It's in 5 U.S.C. 552A, A-2. It's a citizen of the United States or a non-resident alien. It only has to do with a citizen of the United States. It's a fiction in law, just made up by Congress. And then I got the case when I was looking where the Ways and Means Committee went after Trump on his taxes. And they talk about we have a voluntary, we can participate in a voluntary national taxation system. Voluntary. Well, maybe I don't want to participate because I'm not a citizen of the United States. And I got so much stuff. I'm going to get this standing or the status thing done, but I've got too many things on the plate to get it finished here. But you just can't make this up. We couldn't have any discrimination between a citizen of the United States and D.C., could we? Because that's the only thing that exists there. Why is a citizen of the United States the only person that's qualified to vote? There's a couple of citizens of the United States of America, but still only a citizen of the several states has the right of suffrage in the elected franchise. Supreme Court said so. But nobody wants to go there. Then you start, like in the Mooney's case, there's no notice of deficiency, notice of assessment. Well, then you go look at the regulations that they use. The IRS congressional record says that all of the stuff that Congress does, there has to be regulations to make it come into effect. That's how the congressional records of the 1946 APA Act. It says before it affects the individual citizens, it's got to be interpreted and all the yada nonsense. What kind of regulations are there? Do they teach you this? I didn't know. We have subsidy regulations, also called legislative rules, under the Supreme Court of Chrysler v. Brown. They have the, quote, force and effect of law. They're not law, but they have the force and effect of law for the fictional citizens of the United States. And to be able to recognize those in the Federal Register, in the proposed rule, they have to put in it's in compliance with 5 U.S.C. 553 or 553B usually, but it's actually B, C, and D. Do you know how many the IRS has done? None. No. They always say we don't need it. They say that right in their first part of their first book on page 3. They cite a Federal Register and they leave out paragraph 4. That goes back to the APA talking about we're going to do those. They never said they're going to do them. It's a con. So then you go look at these regulations, because you see we have the substantive or legislative rules that have force and effect of law. They're supposed to do that in the, say that in the proposed rule. You comment on it. Then you come back in the final rule. They look at the comments. Doesn't mean anything. They just say whatever they want. Then they're supposed to wait 30 days, and then Congress has 6 months to up or down it. I've never seen one. I researched that so much, I just couldn't believe it. So what other kind of rules do we have? Interpretive rules. They have no force to effect of law. That's the agency, what they think the Congress meant. What they really use, they have procedure rules. You can't even hold them to the procedure rules. What their procedure is, even though they say they're supposed to do it, they don't do it. No repercussions. Actually, there is. I found out in Mertens. I'll get to that in a minute. But then, what is really interesting, housekeeping. We have these Part 301. So you go into the assessment regulations that they use them ad nauseum in IRS cases. Part 301. Do you know what they are? They're called housekeeping. They can't be used for anything legally. It's only for their internal nonsense for their employees in that agency, and they use them all the time against us. Part 301. Cecil, right in Chrysler V. Brown. They're called housekeeping statutes or regulations, housekeeping regulations. You can't use them. They use them all the time, and nobody. Well, a few of the patriots try to complain, but they don't understand how to do it. But they started in 1967 when they really published the first ones of these things, and then they built off of them. Which, of course, I got all this. I'm going to put the module together, quoting their stuff. It is your public freaking damn record. It's your stuff. I'm going to hang you by your own rope. You're confessing to it. But they use them all the time against us. And that's the thing is, how do you win in a court that's not even a constitutional court? That is a pretty good trick. One of the things is to expose them where they don't want this stuff out, especially in the appellate courts, where people might be able to find it. They don't want this out. You know how many people's brought up United States of America as a sovereign body politic when I did a word search in Westlaw? Me, in a couple of cases that I've used. Some people in Missouri, the Himes in Fairbanks, and Leader Himes, she died here recently. Great woman. She died a couple of weeks ago. Why is it just me? That's what I'm doing this show. I'm trying to get people on the list. It's $250 postal money order, or preferably go to Walmart and send it that away, cash, or if you can't afford it, email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com and tell me an email why you can't afford it. I'll still add you. And if you are a member of the list and you have a hard drive of 1 terabyte, I'll give you all my research material. How about those apples? There's 20 years of research. All of Amsler 1, all of ruling case law, these 60 volumes, all kinds of law dictionaries of Blacks and Bouviers and Andersons and all kinds of stuff. That a lot of stuff, there's no place you're going to find any of this stuff. All of the common law, the English common law of 1810 or 1811 by Tomlin. So that's the English common law converted. You must find this stuff. I got the books of the 1946 or 1948 administrative stuff on Title 18 and Title 28. There's only a couple of those left in the whole world. I got those all PDF'd out with the revisor's notes. Stuff is shocking when you read it, what these people are doing behind the scenes. They are knowingly overthrowing our republic. It's just like Schiff and Pelosi. These people, That's treason. They're waging war on the laws of the United States. They're making a mockery out of impeachment. But I think this year is going to be a good year. I do believe that Durham and Barr are going to bring forth indictments. And Trump has outsmarted these Democrats. He just yanks them around. They don't have a clue what's going on with their lies. How do you get all of the Democrats, save for a couple, to vote for a complete lie on impeachment? That means these people have no conscience, no moral thing at all. Their only interest is getting elected and making money. And most of them are got their relation or tied in is making money. Do you ever see any of these congressmen or senators come out broke? Why do most of them come out multimillionaires or more? Why is that? This good at investing their salaries? I don't think so. Anyway, this is really going to get interesting because we're going to try to subpoena Walden, which was the, I think he's retired. He's the same IRS guy that Thornton had out of Minnesota. One, this other property gal, they're saying, well, she's over 100 miles away and you didn't pay the money. If she's over 100 miles, she's exempt and she's out of Illinois, 500 and some miles away. But she lied. But why do they need her declaration? Because that's the evidence that they use. And if you monitor any, if you go into Pacer, pay a dime a page, open to anybody, you go into these cases where they're going after Trump or any of these cases, there is a ton of declarations, always. And attorneys aren't supposed to be testifying to the facts. They're supposed to be representing a plaintiff that has facts by affidavit or by sworn testimony or something. How do they get away with it? You just sit back and shake your head. I mean, what the hell is wrong with these people? I mean, it's not hard to find some of these basic tenets how these people are supposed to act. But they do it and they get away with it. Just like on the tax returns. How can I have a tax return without a legal duty or obligation for somebody to take it out? Where is that? That's in the Internal Revenue Code in 7701A16. Withholding agent. Withholding agent. There's got to be somebody that has the authority to act as a withholding agent. And it says the term withholding agent, that's in quotation marks, means any person. That covers the whole definition of person required to deduct and withhold any tax. That's anything. Subtitle A, individual, B, state, C, wages, D and E, and F, the procedural nonsense. Withhold any tax. And they list four sections. 1441, non-resident alien. 1442 is a foreign corporation. 1443 is a foreign organization. And 1461 is a hold harmless clause. Unless you do one of those three, you can sue the person that's taking money out. Has anybody done it? We're going to be doing it. We are. Because I found in Mertens where if the IRS agent does not obey, I haven't researched it, but I found it, a whole article to how to sue them. If they do not obey their regulations and stuff, you can sue them for up to $1 million. But they got some different things that you got, hoops you got to jump through. That's fine. But the problem is, I'll be back in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I have in this one brief that I put together of this, I found a restrictions on the power of Congress in a case of the execution of powers of the enforcement of the rights and powers of the United States government. And it's just, it's got, I don't know, probably 50 cases on all these different things. That's in that complaint too. How are they going to get around this case here on the Committee of the Ways and Means Committee, House of Representatives? It's 1-19-Charlie Victor, 1974. It was filed in the District of Columbia. This is the House of Ways and Means Committee. These people who write this stuff are supposed to know. And it said right in here, they're talking about Trump. In refusing to comply with the statute, defendants have mounted an extraordinary attack on the authority of Congress to obtain information needed to conduct oversight of Treasury, the IRS, and the tax laws on behalf of the American people who participate in the nation's voluntary tax system, end quote. Who participate? I don't want to participate. What is there about voluntary? That's their stuff. It's a complaint. If they don't know what's going on, what are we supposed to do? That's good stuff. I put in the whole damn complaint. And they defined I got to go back and look, but they also defined in their world what a return is. But I was getting to that. How could you ask for a return if you don't? There has to be some authority to give it. This is crazy. You go to jail for not filing for money back? Filing for a return? Where is the what's called the known legal duty? It's called a withholding agent, and that's only for the foreign folks. Citizen of the United States, doesn't have anything to do with you or me. Nobody wants to go there. B-Crap put in some stuff on that withholding agent, but he didn't thoroughly understand it. Didn't get it researched out, and I'm not criticizing for it because he put in these, I've been doing these things, and it's a learning curve. Just can't make, like I say, you just can't make this up. Where is the known legal duty? The Ways and Means Committee of the United States House of Representatives say it's voluntary. And who participate? Well, I don't want to participate. And if it's voluntary, how can I go to jail if it's voluntary? They volunteer me. By the status, citizen of the United States. We're going to be things that are on the agenda also with the IRS is we're going to be going after the court system over here on my van because I had a trooper finally when I told him the vehicle was stolen, didn't belong to me. He decided he wanted to write me up a seatbelt ticket. So I'm going to give him an education, but I have it from Wasilla Chevrolet. I went in and got a copy of all the documents right there. I give a power of attorney to a guy there at Wasilla, and he gets around, and he gives all right, title, and interest of a brand new vehicle to the state. He takes the manufacturer's statement of origin, has the word property, which is all means everything. That's hand-carried over to DMV, and I get back a certificate of title. That says there's maybe other security interests not shown. You got to be kidding me. Of course, under the UCC. Why would I buy a brand new automobile and sign a document that's notarized, by the way? It's called attorney in fact contract. Why would it's like a regular true contract? Because I'm getting a certificate of title back. I get a tag. I get to put a little registration ticker on and pay for the use. Because the state owns the property. I get a legal title to it. I got the right to possess it. But I don't have right of property. That thing, the car that I touch and sit in and drive belongs to the state. Or somebody. Sure as hell don't belong to me. And boy, they don't want to talk about those manufacturer's statement of origin. They don't tell you. I talked to that financial guy over there, finally got him cornered on the phone. He knows. I says, why don't you tell him? Well, he said, that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. So we just, I've went in here and bought a lot of new vehicles. I never read all that junk. They get you to sign a whole stack of papers. I'm so interested in getting my new thing and driving off after, don't even own it. Gave it away before I even got it off the out of the lot. I can't believe I did that. I did. Many times. Anyway, I'm going to educate that guy. I'm going to get to it. But these things take a lot of time to get these modules built. But we've got enough of the modules now. Like I say, this NREM, I've got to get that down even stronger. But it is a those actions, there is no trial by jury in an NREM action. It's prohibited. So they promise them all the time. If anybody's listening that's ever had a reduced to judgment or knows anybody, see if they ever had a trial by jury. I'd like to get the case to me, the case numbers, anybody that's got them. I guarantee you, no trial by jury, every one of them is going to be a summary judgment, maybe a default. Most of them are summary judgments. And they happen about 6 months or a year down the road. Every one of them is going to have a declaration filed, and I guarantee you. Because that is their evidence, the way they do evidence in these non-constitutional legislative courts is by declaration. And if you don't oppose each and everything, you lose. No matter what you do after the fact. And I got that from a magistrate. It's limited to what's there, and if you don't, and in Thornton's case, it's called clear and convincing evidence in their world, with no sworn testimony, only the evidence of a declaration. And what's interesting, too, is this person that did the declaration in Mooney's case on the property said without the United States. But see, that's number two. Or number one is without the United States under the laws of the United States of America. So if the plaintiff is United States of America, why wouldn't she do 28 U.S.C. 1746-1, the laws of the United States of America? You got to have some laws for that plaintiff, don't you? God, it's just, there's so many things when you start looking at these things. They got so many holes in them, you could write a book. That complaint that we did on Mooney's in the Federal Court of Claims is a great place to start because it's got a 35 attachments or something like that. So that you have evidence of their confessions, of their being liars. And I would really like to get people interested. John in California, question or comment? Yeah, I guess we got disconnected with John there. Sure like to get people involved also in this child custody, these child slavers. Because this is just, you know, abortion is just unbelievable. Especially when they can go right up to the 9 months or even like in Virginia, they get around, set them there and make them comfortable, let them die? What kind of comfort? Okay, John, you're back there?
Yes, I am, Ralph. Can you hear me?
Yo, yeah, we got a doubt on a minute ago there, but we got disconnected by the powers of electronics, but what's up?
Okay, I just had two quick points, Ralph, or two quick questions. First one was, some time ago I talked to you about the meaning of the term public office as it's used in the definition of that three-word term, the Internal Revenue Code, trade or business, where it says that the trade or business includes the performance of the functions of a public office. What you did was you made a recommendation that I look at a court case. It was called Cook versus Tate. And I know you wrote it down on a piece of paper. I don't have, but I
don't remember it, but I have a complete module on public officer.
Okay.
So if you'll email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com, I'll send you the complete module.
Okay, that's fine. And what about, module, will it say pretty much the same thing as Black's Law Dictionary says for a public office?
The public office has to be created. Here's the key to this whole thing. It's got a couple of parts to it. First of all, there has to be what's called a de jure office established by an office. It's the authority in legislature or by the Constitution for somebody to do something against our will. Okay, that's under the common law. And under that, then, of course, we have the public offices in the judiciary, we have the public offices in the executive, and then, of course, we have members, which is different in the legislature or Congress, because they're representing our interest. But the ones that can take away our rights are the executive and especially the judiciary. So they have to have what's called a de jure office with powers granted or implied. Then, when this office, it is like a contract. And then when they enter that office, there's your office, they have to get there by an oath of office as a public officer, or they have to be appointed with a civil commission to that public office with the terms and all that. Okay?
Okay.
So
That's a bit more extensive than what I've seen here in Black's Law Dictionary. So, okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a whole module. And if they don't have that, now what happens is because they've overthrown our republic. And there is some sort of a thing that under the inalienable rights between the creator and the devil, you can't use the same thing. So they have to create the illusion of an office. Now, what you will find in all these states, there is no de jure public office established by the legislature or by the Constitution. They don't exist. So, and if they don't, then you can sue them because it's clear absence of all jurisdiction. Now, like I say, they have to have an oath of office as a public officer. You can't nail them on that because they cannot have it. They can have a civil commission, and they cannot have it. You still can't do it. They can do anything that's crooked in a public office, and you still can't judge as immune. But the only way is that if the office, what they're, say, like up here, our judges say they're in the 3rd Judicial District, and that's created by the bar. That's the venue, administrative. They're supposed to be in the 3rd District. That's the constitutional side. Just one little word. But with that, then you can sue them because they have no office created by the legislature or by the Constitution.
Okay.
But I used to go after they don't have any oaths of office and nobody's got them. They don't have civil commissions or supposed to by the Constitution and statute. You still can't get them. And they can do anything they want if they actually had a de jure office. They could do all kinds of crazy stuff. They could rule against you unconstitutionally. You can't do anything to the judge. But if they don't have an office, de jure office, it's clear absence of all jurisdiction, and you can sue them. And that's what I have a brief that I've done for Alaska. On email, it takes several emails, but if you want to look at one, that's a good place to start if that's what you're thinking about doing.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure where it's going exactly. What I was going to use it for was, it's just another defense against the application of the Internal Revenue Code by the local California Franchise Tax Board. In other words, there's one particular statement in the Internal Revenue Code, and I don't have that right in front of me, but it's that old rule of where if you work for somebody and you work, you get paid less than $600 in a given calendar or tax year, you don't owe them any money. If you make more $600 or more, then all of a sudden you owe them money. But what they forget to say is the introductory words of that paragraph are, during the course of your pursuit as being a trade or business, you know, either the guy doing the paying.
Okay, a lot of what you're doing is true, but you got to step back. My suggestion is to get to the root of the damn tree.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I've screwed around so much in those things, like I know all the regulatory and all this nonsense, Subtitle A, Subtitle B, Subtitle C, and all this.
Right.
It's all about your status, citizen of the United States. That's the root that doesn't even exist. They can't take you there if you don't want to go.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all right. Okay, that's fine.
Are you on my IRS list or not?
I am. I get your stuff. Yes, I did. And I did send you an email about a year ago explaining why I couldn't come up with any money right then. So I'll...
Okay.
Send me an
email to make sure it's irs@alaskaminuteman.com if you want to get a hold of me. Ralph doesn't work because this morning I got around and got rid of about 800 emails I got last night. So.
Oh, okay. Ask aminuteman.com. Okay. And then the only other thing I had a question on, Ralph, was something I'm doing. Have you done much at all with the cities? Well, I'll just get right to the point. The city of Rancho Cucamonga in Southern California. I'm trying to avoid purchasing a business license. I'm an electrical engineer, and I've succeeded in not having a business license for at least 12 or 14 years or something like that now. But now they're getting real sticky about it, and the reason I'm doing it is, well, there's two reasons. Number one, I'm wondering what your thoughts would be on them able to them being able to apply a, I guess it would be a direct tax on my gross receipts. And number one,
yeah. I've been down that road. I did that with Winter Telecom in Anchorage, and I had one year. And then what I did is every year when they would put me out, it was in number 14 of their charter. And it was about they owned all the stuff and the inventory and stuff. I said, you'll send me the money for this inventory. I'll get around and pay a tax on it. I sent them an affidavit every year, and every year we didn't do anything. So I never did pay their nonsense, all that crap. The only way you can, if you want to get down to that, you have to look at their the wording, and that's the way you get around it. You have to look at it. It's sometimes a lot of work. Anchorage's was pretty easy because it's right in their charter, but you have to look at the words.
Yeah, what I was the second part of my whole argument is that that what they do is when you get a business license, they use that as you have to sign, the application form. You've got to pay the fee up front, and then they will decide, I guess, as a privilege, whether or not you're allowed to have a business license, or whether they'll give you one. And
all of it is a privilege and a benefit for them.
And what they do is they use that part of the condition in there, right above the signature, is that I would agree to let the fire department come in and inspect my office. Well, I did that once in 1992, and I've got a private engineering office. I don't build anything. I don't have the public in. Most of the time I got my front door locked. I don't let people in that I don't want to come into my office.
Yeah. Without looking at the paperwork, you just have to look at the paperwork. That's all I could tell you. And some battles are worth fighting and some are not.
In the meantime, in the last year or two, I've gotten copies of the oaths of office for the mayor and each of the city council members, and they say they promise to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of California.
The reason what you want to do there, all these oaths of office, if you don't have an office, the oath of office is irrelevant because it has to match up exactly to the words. That's why they're usually most places they're all in quotation marks. And if they don't match up exactly, if you don't have an office, I can swear an oath of office, but I don't have an office. I don't have any delegation of authority. But if people believe I do, fine. But if you don't have an office, the oath of office is irrelevant. They will never match, guaranteed. If you have it in quotation marks somewhere, I guarantee you. I've pounded that thing from the state, federal, and it's all nonsense.
Don't you think that the mayor of a major city in California would? That's not a public office.
No, there's no elections for public officers.
They have elections for the mayor.
No, he's not. He doesn't hold a public office. The National Voter Registration Act is done by citizens of the United States, and it's only for federal offices. So they're a municipal entity under the federal government. That's all they are. That's all black and white. I don't know if you're on my IRS list. I can send you some stuff on that.
All right. I'll add that to my email. All right. All right.
Yep, okay.
Well, look, thanks a lot, Ralph.
Okay, yeah.
Bye. Bye.
Some of these concepts are tough to get a hold of, to grasp a hold of, because we tend to think that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're none of them. There is no office because there's no elections for them. If you don't have elections for a public officer of the several states, you sure as the hell can't have a public officer. That's why the oaths of office never match up. That's why the civil commissions. I've been down that road. I've checked the governor of Alaska, the legislature, the judges, the councilmen, the mayors. It's all bogus. It's bogus. We have to get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem, our republic's been overthrown. And we did it. Now, it's not going to come back. I would go down here in front of the 9 of these senators and legislators down here, what they call the LIO, Legislative Information Office, meeting down our senior citizens. And I got a whopping 2 minutes. And I went over just the things about the state plan. and the courts. We don't have any constitutional courts. These people are sitting there scowling at me like, how dare you challenge what we're doing? I gave them all cards. And you know what Ralph's going to do? I've got it all researched out for Alaska. Right down the road here, there's about 1,400 people in jail. We have a jail down here, about 20 miles from me. And they want out. I'm going to put that information in, and with a habeas corpus, and then sit back and watch for fun. Yeah, why not? I'm going to try to get these guys to do it and bring us back quietly. But if they don't want to do it, you got to get to somebody that's once out. Those people down here at Goose Creek Correctional Facility, there's about 1,400 of them. They went out of jail. They'll give them the ammo to start fighting in the courts with the habeas corpus. But the judge, every one of them is in there illegally because we don't have any public officers. We don't have any judges. There's no judicial power. Nothing. It's all a con. It's a big freaking damn lie. Anyway, this case we've got with Moonies, and then I got to find out how to sue in a Rappard's case in Minnesota, because he's got Minnesota just will not let go of him. Some people out of on taxation and stuff. I mean, it's just these lackeys. I don't know. They really believe this stuff or not, or they're just damn stupid. A lot of them are just stupid. They really are. They're ignorant. You can't. It's like talking to a Democrat. I don't want anything to do with Democrats. If you can't have a conversation about facts, it's always about name calling. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a this. He's a that. Wait a minute. Wait. Where's your facts? What are you relying on? Well, I don't know. He's just a fact. He's a liar. Okay. So what's he been lying about? Well, he's a liar. How do you have a conversation with anybody that doesn't have any facts? They get this, I don't know, they're just angry. It's like a little petulant 3-year-old child stomping up and down. You can't talk to him. It's just, there's no logic there. I don't know. Well, that's going to get really interesting because we have this courts now. We know what they are. We can prove what they are. Boy, it takes a lot of documentation to prove it. But these United States District Courts are nothing more than Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9 tribunals. The judge is representing the court, and the court is under the control of Congress. And Congress is united. All of these plaintiffs are United States of America, is a sovereign body politic. I got 110 cases with them admitting that. Out of the Department of Justice, in the public record. I put it in the public record. Because a citizen of the United States has no political rights. That's why they always hear them talking about civil rights. 14 Stat 27 in 1866. A citizen of the United States shall have the same rights as a white citizen. That was for the Negroes. They were screwing with them. And they were screwing with us. They put it in the 14th, then, of course, in 1870, they said, oh, by the way, shh, don't tell nobody. But you know those black folk over there? Now we can make them citizens. We can naturalize them. They can be citizens of the United States of America. So they're the same in every respect as a, quote, white citizen. But we're not going to tell anybody about that. Nobody knows about it. The Act of 1870. They'd already got their con done. It's just amazing. And they overthrew our federal court system. And what we have is we have the amendments 1 through 12 are organic to the Constitution of the United States. It's not the United States Constitution. It's Constitution of the United States. 13 and up is about citizens of the United States. It's about citizens of the United States, which don't even really exist. And they flipped the citizenship to where you and I, by contract, we get us to sign under the penalties of perjury that we're a citizen of the United States. True and correct. To accept a benefit. And I've got a Supreme Court case that says if you're a citizen of the United States, no matter where you are with your property, this guy was in Mexico, they could come after his property. Why don't they tell us it's an in-rem action, just like in the maritime stuff? Because they don't want us to know this stuff. How many people have access to Mertens, M-E-R-T-E-N-S? I'll bet most people listening have never even heard of it. We have access to it in this Westlaw account. And it's got many, many volumes. And there are certain things you will not find in there. You won't find substantive regulations. You won't find things that are constitutional. But you will find other stuff that is amazing, just like this in-rem action. I got the cases that they've researched out for me where the notice of federal tax lien is no trial by jury and it's in-rem. Thank you, Mertens. And I published it. Gave it to Moody's, and they put it in the public record in that case down there. Oh, I was going to read the time is it here? How much time we got left? Well, we should be going to break here pretty soon. I was going to read what I, let me find out what they read into the record down there. I wrote it for Steph because this, if you appear by special and limited appearance, then you have not given jurisdiction to what these people are doing. Not that it makes any difference because these people, they just do whatever they want. I mean, it's just strictly out of control. I don't know what to say. But what they read is, my true name is William Joseph Mooney. I am a citizen of Minnesota. By the way, you always put citizen Minnesota in quotation mark. Domiciled Minnesota, one of the several states. I am also an American citizen, citizen of the United States of America, and, quote, a national of the United States, quote, end quote, as the term is defined in 8 U.S.C. 1101A, definitions 22B. And a national of the United States means one of two things. A, a citizen of the United States, or a person, though not a citizen of the United States, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. That's really an important issue. That's really an important issue. That's your status. And if you use, like, due process of law, law of the land, something that you want to put them in quotation marks, or like judicial power of the United States, you want to put that in quotation marks because they will, you, sometimes you will see it in the court cases, judicial power, and they'll leave out of the United States. That's the administrative side because what they say is, well, we're exercising because the government has to exercise all of its judicial power, administrative and constitutional. This can't make, I don't know what to say. I highly recommend getting on my IRS list. And I'm not going to have time to read all this other because it's several pages that they read into the record up there in that court. But we're going to wait. But like I say, one of the things now is they've reopened the case. We have complete. I've never seen the case go complete full circle. We went all O'Neill in Kentucky. I'm sorry, I didn't see you. You got a question or comment?
Yes, Ralph, no problem, buddy. I love everything that you're doing there. I've been a listener for you for years. I was wondering, could you please slowly repeat that new court case you found today, talked about tonight, rather, in regards to standing?
Oh, sure, okay. And, well, if you'll email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com today, I'll give you the brief and the court case. How about that?
That's a great deal. Thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah, IRS at AlaskaMinuteMan.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll give you the whole thing so you can read it. I might have made it up. You never know. It is
what would you recommend,
case.
Though?
Pardon?
I was going to ask you, what would you recommend, though, for people like I'm your age and retired and all that, but SS doesn't cut it, as you well know. So I have to go back to work, but first thing they want you to do is fill out a W-4.
Well, you do. You send me those to me, and I modify them, then you mark exempt. Box 7.
And then the IRS comes back and says, oh, no, he can't be that way.
Then we deal with it. That's what I'm working on, these letters, different letters to go back against these guys, and that's why I want to get to. We're going to start suing them.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. And you're a busy man. I greatly appreciate you. Have a blessed evening. Thank you.
Email me. Like I say, read this stuff. Don't believe anybody in this that's doing this stuff. We've got too many people out here that are, they got a little bit of truth, but I don't claim to have it all by any, because I learn every week, and I've changed directions on some stuff. And you find out you're wrong, you're correct. That's why I tried. Oh, Richard in Alabama, question or comment?
Hi. I just heard you say that the process that the IRS uses is in rem, but it doesn't the Bar Association do entirely fictitious party practice, and aren't all warrants issued in rem?
Well, in rem is that the property of the thing. No, what they do is, though, everything is an all caps name, and that's the other side. It's a fiction in law. You're not going to win with it. That's not your true name, but it is. And when I do these briefs anymore, I put their names in all caps, and I keep mine in upper and lower case, just to let them know that I know it's a crock of smoke and mirrors. Because like McAlpine's case, when they did his, on his plea bargain, they put his name in all caps, McAlpine, in North Carolina, all the way through the plea bargain. Why would they do that? They wanted him to sign up for the fiction, and that's what he did. But you're not going to win with it.
Nope. Yeah, I know.
But it is a good thing to know. A lot of these things are good things to know, because it just helps you recognize how corrupt this system has become. Because basically, we have the inalienable rights of the Creator on one side, and we have the man's law with Satan on the other. And the Democratic Party is just a great example. Good.
Back to the call that preceded me.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to mark his W-4 exempt.
Yeah, W-4. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
if you were exempt, you wouldn't mark it at all, or you wouldn't submit any if you were exempt.
No, you have to do that in their world that says, I don't want to play with you. So you mark exempt, but I get around and modify their documents.
But
and then if you have the wherewithal.
When the
thing is, these employers won't hire you unless you file a W-4, because they're all brainwashed.
Right.
So that's the world we live in.
Right.
So, okay. Well, we got to go, and thanks for listening. And as I say, watch out for the federales; they're everywhere. And let's play for Trump, and let's have fun. I hope they get their butts handed to them this week on that impeachment.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Truth, truth.